Let's go to the Word of God and hear what God wants to speak to us. Joshua chapter number 1. Let's go to Joshua chapter number 1. And let's start from verse number 7. Joshua chapter number 1. Verse number 7. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. Underline that. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Underline depart from your shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Okay, let's stop.
I'm gonna go bathe.
So
I get distracted because it was about waiting.
Okay, so let's see. Now, God is speaking to Joshua. One of the things that you will realize when you read Joshua chapter number 1 is, again and again, the same sentences are used by God to speak to Joshua. And the sentences are, be strong and of good courage, do not be discouraged, nor be dismayed, or be strong and very courageous, do not be discouraged. The Lord uses that sentence and again to speak to Joshua. If the Lord is stressing on something, there is some context to it. And the context is Joshua was high likely to be discouraged and dismayed. The reason is because Joshua has to start a new season. Joshua has to start a new season where he will be leading the people of God from the forefront. Until now, Joshua was working as an assistant to Moses. Moses was doing the job. Moses was seeking the Lord. Moses took the risk. Moses led the people. And Joshua was just an assistant. So he was used to be an assistant. Now when Moses, the servant of God, is dead, Joshua has to take a new responsibility. Hallelujah. Joshua has to take a new responsibility. And he has seen Moses, how he led God's people, and how difficult the job was to lead God's people. And he is uncertain whether he will be able to fulfill that job or not, because he was dependent on Moses. The people were dependent on Moses to lead them, to bring them the word of the Lord. So he was also assistant to Moses, too dependent on him. So he was feeling the gap, he was feeling the void, and he was thinking, how I will do? That's why God was telling him again and again, do not be discouraged, nor be dismayed. If you read the verses before verse number 7, you will see, as I was with, God is saying to Joshua, as I was with my servant Moses, so I will be with you. So don't worry about it. I will assist you. I will be with you. But do not be discouraged, nor be dismayed. One of the things that was laid out by God for this new season for Joshua was that if you want to fulfill this responsibility, faithfully, if you want to do a good job, you don't need to worry. You just need to observe my word and do accordingly. The word of God that is laid out. So men of God, their legacy will end, their lives will end. But what drives the purpose of God is the word of God and not a human being. What drives the purposes of God on the face of the earth is the word of God. So God is telling Joshua that don't worry if Moses is dead, my servant Moses, my servant is dead, but I have chosen you. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. What you need to only do is don't be discouraged, don't be dismayed, but meditate on the word of God day and night and do accordingly. Okay, so that is the context here. That's why God is again and again telling Joshua that do not be discouraged, nor be dismayed. And again, he is saying to Joshua, just meditate on the word of God. So we see that the word of God is what drives the purposes of God on the face of the earth. And God wants you to align with the word completely, completely, 100%. And then it says, when you align with the word, observe it and do accordingly, you shall prosper. That is biblical prosperity, where the emphasis is on, emphasis is not on prosperity. The emphasis is on the word of God. The emphasis is not the things of the world and mammon. The emphasis of seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and then prosperity shall follow. Any which ways, what I'm going to speak on is spiritual distractions. And spiritual distractions. And that's why I started off with Joshua chapter number 1. The Lord says something there to Joshua. And he says in verse number 7, he says, do not turn from it, from the word, to the right hand or to the left hand. Do not turn it, turn from the word of God. So what is a distraction? What is spiritual distraction? Spiritual distractions are diversion from meditating, observing, and doing the word of God. Diversions from meditating, observing, and doing the word of the Lord is a distraction. Hallelujah. Do we understand that? I'm talking about diversion. If you divert from doing the word of the Lord, there will be diversions in every area of your life. If you are distracted from your daily devotion, if you are distracted from hearing the word of the Lord daily, there will be distraction in every area of your life. Hallelujah. So that is a distraction. The last 2 weeks, God was speaking to me about different subjects. So when I was preparing for the sermons, the Holy Spirit brought all the subjects together, and then I came to know that this is the subject. All the things, revelations together, when all the revelations came together, then I came to know that the Holy Spirit wants me to speak to his people on the topic of spiritual distractions, because many of God's people here, not only here, many Christians are living a distracted life. Are living a distracted life. They are hyperactive in their mind. They are hyper anxious. I see so many Christians. I have told you many times, you know, if it's okay that you are going, when you are sitting for the meeting, sometimes you have something urgent and then you go, you come back and then you sit. But there are some people who are so hyperactive that 2 minutes they cannot sit in one place. Again and again they go, they come, go, they come, they go, they come. That is a red flag to you, brother. That is a red flag to you, sister. Your mind is hyperactive. You are very distracted. And that is a red flag. That is a dangerous state where you are. When you do that, that shows me that you are not a man of the secret place. You are not a woman of the secret place. If you cannot sit for the word, just 2 minutes, 3 minutes, you go somewhere, come back, go somewhere. You are so distracted. That means you have not been in the secret place. You have not heard God for a long time. That's the result of your distracted mind, of the anxious mind that you have. Very hyperactive. Are we understanding? I mean, I started to do ministry. I started the preaching, teaching ministry when God anointed me for the teaching ministry, for the preaching ministry. I started it. After a long time of being in the Lord. Before that, I was an intercessor. And when I was an intercessor, I sat under men of God. I sat in meetings and I would never get up. And that, when people are focused, that shows that they have the capacity to be still in the Lord. They have the capacity. They have trained their mind. And people of God, this is the time and season where we need to be trained. We need to train our mind. You know, Apostle Paul says, I discipline myself. I discipline myself. Why you need to be disciplined? So that you are not distracted and you are able to hear God. You are able to hear God and you are able to walk, meditate, observe, and do according to the word of the Lord and not go to the right or to the left. Hallelujah. What are diversions? What is a distraction? Distraction is a diversion from meditating, observing and doing the word of the Lord. Let me keep that simple. That is a distraction. Distraction is a diversion from meditating, observing, and doing the word of the Lord. Meditating, observing, and doing the word of the Lord is a daily activity. And even distraction is a daily activity. Distraction is a daily activity. And even meditating, observing, and doing the word of the Lord is a daily activity. Let me start off with distraction. The first thing that I want to talk about distraction is the distractions that are orchestrated by the devil through witchcraft. Remember, the distraction I am talking about, I'm not talking about other distraction. I'm not talking about the distraction that when you are watching a football match, you have to go and fill your cup of coffee and come back. Oh, I was distracted. Not that distraction. The distraction that I'm talking about is the diversion from the meditating, observing, and doing the word of the Lord. Because that is the main area of your life which will bring distractions in other areas of your life. Hallelujah. Okay, so the first distraction is the distraction that is orchestrated by the devil through witchcraft. The distractions that are orchestrated by the devil through witchcraft. Okay, this is one of the main points. I will come in the sub points in the later part. How does the devil distract and brings distractions? Now, the devil's job is to distract you. The devil will be successful and he will dance and do a party when he sees a believer who did not go to spend time with the Lord, because the devil successfully distracted the believer. The devil is happy in distracting people. That is one of the tools that he used to keep you away from the Lord. And by keeping you away from the word of the Lord, from meditating on the word of the Lord, from hearing the word of the Lord, he keeps you away from the purposes of God. He keeps you away from the presence of God. And the most simplest tool that he uses is distractions. Okay, let's go to a verse in the Bible. Job chapter number 3. Let's read the verse and let me make a statement after reading that verse. Hallelujah. Job chapter number 3. Verse number 8. Job chapter number 3, verse number 8. May the stars... Okay, we are on verse number 8. Job chapter 3, verse number 8. May those who curse it, who curse the day, those who are ready to arouse Leviathan. That is NKJV version. Let me read from the KJV version also. It says, let them curse it that curse the day, who are ready to raise up their mourning. Okay, now when you find context, Job is talking about the day of his birth. And now Job is frustrated because of what is happening to him after all that happened to him. You know what happened to him, how Satan was allowed to attack Job, and at last Satan attacked his health. There was sores all over his body, and everyone was weeping over him, looking at his condition. And then he was not able to bear the pain, he was not able to bear the attack and what was happening to him mentally, physically. And then he broke out to question God. And now the context is, what he is saying is he is cursing the day of his birth. He's saying, why I was born. And now he makes a statement while cursing the day of the birth. He is saying, let those who curse the day of my birth. Let those who curse the day of my birth, who are ready to raise up their mourning, or who are ready to arouse Leviathan, which is a snake spirit, which is a serpentine spirit. So Job is speaking something there when he was grieving in his heart and when he was complaining against God. He is saying, the day of my birth, let those whose job and assignment is to curse the day. There are people assigned by the devil. There are satanic agents that are assigned whose job is to curse your day. Hallelujah. People of God, before we, even as we are starting, say a loud amen. Pastor John is there, I know. Hallelujah. Are we there tonight? Okay, hallelujah. Listen, there Satan assigns satanic agents who curse your day. You will ask, when do they curse your day? They curse your day before the sun rises. They curse your day before the day starts. Their job is to curse the day. Their job is to raise up the Leviathan. Their job is to praise the snake. Their job is to raise up mourning and sorrow so that your day when it starts will be sorrowful. When do they do that? They do that before the sun rises. They do that in the time of the night. They curse the day and little that, oh, who will curse my day? I love everyone and everyone loves me. Well, Satan does not love you because you believe in Christ. If you are that hanky-panky, naive Christian who believes, oh, I love everyone, everyone loves me, there are no enemies in my life. There is some problem with you if you don't have an enemy. If all the world loves you, let those who curse the day of my birth, Job is speaking. So there are people, he is saying, who curse the day before it begins. Stay with me. I'm talking about distractions that are orchestrated by Satan even as your day begins. How to overcome that kind of distraction? Okay, let me make a statement before I go ahead. If first thing in the morning you don't fill yourself with God's word, Satan will fill you. Write it down. If in the morning, when your day starts, the first thing, if you don't fill yourself with God's word, Satan will fill you. What I am saying is a fact. Satan will fill you. You get up in the morning and you don't acknowledge the presence of God. You don't say, thank you, God, for this day. But you wake up in the morning with other agendas in your life. With other things in your life. I have to go to work and you don't spend time, don't talk with God, don't read the word, don't open the word. And there is an empty area where the word of God is not there. Satan will immediately come and fill your mind with other things. And that is where the manipulation for your day begins. And the whole day will be a distracted day, will be a distraction where you will have no hunger, where you will have no thirst, you will have no desire to come to God, but to do all other nonsense things in the world, which are not even productive, which are worldly, which are not in God's calendar, which is not in God's schedule for you to do. All the other things you will do for the day because you allowed Satan to fill you. Why you allowed Satan to fill you? Because you were not filled with God. You were not filled with the word. You were not filled with his presence. Are we together? Matthew's chapter number 13. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Matthew's chapter number 13. Verse number 24. Matthew's chapter number 13. Verse number 24. Another parable he put forth to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servant of the owner came and said to him, Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, An enemy has done this. The servant said to him, Do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Okay. The man is doing a good work. He's sowing good. The parable is the man is sowing good seeds in the field. But the Bible says, when they slept, the enemy came in the night and sowed the tares. So the enemy enemy does his job while men sleep. The enemy does his job while there is darkness. The enemy does his job in isolation, when under the realms of darkness, and does the job and go away. And when we wake up, if you have to break the spell of the enemy, start your day with the Holy Spirit. Start your day with the Word of God. If you are a person who has no time, you have an early shift, at least say, Lord, speak to me and give me a word, and pray through a word, and then go. Because that is how the Word of God has the ability to cancel demonic manipulation orchestrated by altars during the night.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There were so many times where I canceled the plan of the enemy. The enemy makes plans of manipulation for your day. The enemy makes plan for manipulation about your life. But it's in your hand, in your authority, to cancel those plans, to cancel those things that he orchestrates even before your day begins. And what he orchestrates is intended towards distracting you. Is intended towards distracting you. Some of you can wake up, and the first thought when you wake up is, how will I manage my finances? How will I pay the bills? The first thought maybe you wake up is, what will happen now? Those are, when you wake up with those thoughts, that means the enemy has done their job during the night. Are we understanding that? When I'm very high in the spirit, when I'm in fasting, when there is a battle going on, sometimes I will not get a whole night's sleep. There will be frequent waking ups by dreams or by visions or by voices to me during the night, because the enemy is orchestrating manipulation during the night, and the Lord wakes me up, and then the Lord allows me to pray in tongues and cancel things that he is orchestrating during the time of the night. Demonic dreams, negative dreams that come, it is not true. It is not in your way, but the enemy is orchestrating a manipulation for it to happen, so that you believe it. It's like the devil has a certain strategy to work. Before doing it, the devil will show you what he is doing, and if you do nothing about it, he will take your permission that he has no. He has no problem from me doing it, and it will surely happen. When you get a dream that has been repeated more than two times, you got to do something about that dream. When you see a dream, that is a law in the spirit that I'm teaching you. When you see a dream in the night that is repeated more than two times, for example, if you are seeing a dream, if you saw a dream last week where you met with an accident, you said, oh, maybe it's a dream out of my head. This week, again, you saw that dream. You need to get up at that moment in the night and pray in tongues and cancel the orchestrated plan of the enemy that he is doing. But if you don't do anything about it, oh, I just want to sleep. Maybe it's, I just want to sleep. The enemy will take the permission from you that you have no problem about his plan. Are you understanding? Like, I am coming to you and telling you, you know what? This is what I want to do. And you don't say anything. Again, I say, this is what I want to do. Since you are not saying anything, I will take that, oh, you don't have any problem by me doing it. That is how the devil performs his manipulation. And we got to take the authority to cancel the demonic orchestrations that happen in the night. When Nebuchadnezzar saw a dream, it says it was a dream of the night. When Daniel saw the vision, it says it was the vision of the night. Hallelujah. Before the day starts, the enemy orchestrates distraction. And even as your day starts, you will see those distractions. What kind of distractions? We will see those kind of distractions that the enemy orchestrates in the coming points. Are we understanding? Let me take you to a verse. Isaiah chapter number 50. Verse number 4 and 5, Isaiah 55:0. Verse number 4 and 5. It says, The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear. Everyone say, he awakens my ear morning by morning. Everyone say that.
He awakens my ear morning by morning.
Why morning by morning? Why not afternoon by afternoon? Why not night by night? Why morning by morning? Because that is the place, that is the time, that is the schedule where you will be able to negate what the enemy has orchestrated against you. When you get up in the morning, you reject all thoughts and you say, Lord, thank you. Good morning, Holy Spirit. I thank you. I acknowledge your presence. Thank you for this day. Thank you for breath in my nostril. And you go to freshen up, and then you say, Lord, speak to me. You find a verse in the Bible from Philippians 4:6, and it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, through thanksgiving, bring your request before God, and the peace of God. You read that verse and you say, Lord, this is the word. The Lord says, yes, this is the word that I want to give you. Meditate on it. And even as you start meditating on it, you find out during the day, there are so many things that are tending to make you anxious. There are so many attacks on your mind that is tending to make you anxious. But because you were grounded in the word, you heard the word, you are able to overcome and withstand the orchestrated attacks of the enemy that he already orchestrated before your day began, because you heard, your ear was awakened in the morning. Hallelujah. Do we understand that?
Hallelujah.
You
yes.
went to the office, and there in the office, oh, you know what? Yesterday you committed an error. Come in my office. Oh, what is this? And then you remember what God spoke to you. Be anxious for nothing. Lord, I'm not anxious. I'm going to the cabin. With thanksgiving, I ask you that you take complete control. Let there be peace. You go to the office by praying that, and when you go to the cabin, the boss says, oh, sorry, it wasn't an error. It wasn't an error. And the error is canceled. What was that? It was an attack orchestrated. You come out of the office, you get someone's text message, you get someone's message, you get message from the home. You know what? Our son is sick. We have to take him to the hospital. You remember the word, be anxious for nothing. You are not panicking. Because something that was orchestrated from the enemy was negated by the awakened ear that heard the voice of God. Hallelujah. Those are distractions that could be overcome when you understand what this scripture is saying. It says, Isaiah 50 verse 4, he awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. If you fill yourself with the word of God, the enemy cannot distract you. If you fill your spirit man with the word of God, if you fill your mind with the revelations of God's word, of God's voice, you cannot be distracted. You will be a calm, silent individual, even in the midst of attacks, in the midst of storms, in the midst of boisterous waves and winds. You will be a still individual. That, hallelujah. You will be still because you have the word inside of you. You have the word with you. You have meditated enough on the word. Do we understand that? Some people get, when you are getting shaken by situations very easily, the devil is just blowing on you and you are shaking like this, that means there is lack of word in you. You need to fill yourself. You need to go in the presence of God and hear the voice of God. Hear the voice of God. Hallelujah. It says verse 5. Isaiah 50 verse 5. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. Hallelujah. Okay. So this is what the Bible talks about. This, how the enemy orchestrates the attacks. This is how the enemy orchestrates attacks by witchcraft and so on and so forth. I can't go in details because that is not my topic, but he orchestrates distractions. And when you are a victim, when you get into that distraction, it will leave your soul and your heart shattered. You know, when something shakes you, when something is able to shake you and you are not grounded, it will shatter you. And after you are shattered, after that, maybe for 2 days, maybe for 1 week, you will have no interest whatsoever to come back to the Word of God, because you are shattered by that distraction. Distraction is not something that will distract you for some time. Distraction's power, the power of distractions can be there for months. When you are distracted by something, it can impact your devotional life. It can impact your word life, your prayer life for months. Do we understand that? For those people who have joined afterwards, what is a distraction? Let me repeat that to you, so that you will be on the same line. A distraction is a diversion from meditating, observing, and doing the word of the Lord. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. All right. There are distractions that are orchestrated by the devil himself, by witchcraft. Now let's go to the second point about distractions. Distractions, frustrations, irritations caused by self and selfish strongholds. Distractions, frustration, irritations caused by self and selfish strongholds. That means a demonic spirit is not involved in it. Neither witchcraft is involved in it. Neither the devil is involved in it. The cause for the distraction is you, yourself. The cause for the distraction is your mindset. The cause for the distraction is a selfish stronghold. Yourself. Okay, the first thing that I want to talk about is high towers, Babel inside a person. High towers and Babel inside a person. Yesterday when I was praying, I already had the sermon together, but the Lord started to show me towers, high towers. I said, what is this towers? Is this Babel? Should I pray again? The Lord said, no, these are Babylonian towers inside a person. These are Babylonian towers inside the mind of the person. Let's see what the Bible talks about high things or high towers. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Let's go there. Second Corinthians chapter number 10. Okay, so I want to read from verse 1 onwards. Now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some, who think of us as we walked according to the flesh. Now, you have to understand the context of what we are going to see here in the scripture. Apostle Paul is talking to a church who are babies, but yet think of themselves as highly. You know, one of the church, which is the church of Laodicea, Jesus said to them, you think you are rich, you think you have everything, but you are poor, miserable, and naked. So that is the condition of these people in the church. They are spiritual babes. Corinthians church, I don't have time to show you, but read the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. They are babies in the spirit realm. They are babes. They cannot eat solid food, but yet their self is making themselves think of themselves very highly. And to that point, this apostle, Paul, is the one who laid the foundation of the church. He was the one who preached the gospel to them at first and brought converts through which the church was established in the Corinthians. He was the one who laid the foundation of the apostolic doctrine. He was the one who laid the foundation of the teaching and taught them. And your people in the church started to think, oh, Apostle Paul, when he is absent, he gives letters to us which are so strong to us, but when he comes among us, he is so lowly, he cannot speak properly, this and that and all those things, gossiping about the man of God. So Apostle Paul is clearing out confusions in the church. He's saying, you say that when I am present among you, I am lowly. When I am absent, I am bold in my letters and all those sort of things. But I am telling you, I am telling you that when I am present, when I am actually coming to you with that confidence, but by which I intend to be bold against some people who think that as if we are walking according to the flesh, because you guys are thinking of yourselves so highly. That is the context now. Now, let's go ahead. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What are the strongholds made of? The strongholds are made of arguments, casting down arguments. The second element of the stronghold is a high thing, and every high thing that exalts itself against the what? Knowledge of God. Exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Stop there. He is talking about, Apostle Paul is saying to them, we are not walking in the flesh. You don't know our walk. We are walking in the spirit. And the weapons of our warfare are not even carnal, not even arguments and our own knowledge. It's mighty in God to pull down the strongholds, your arguments and your high things, which exalt itself against the knowledge of Christ that we are teaching. Do we understand the context? So there is something called as high things, and there is something called as arguments. What is a high thing? High thing, the interpretation of a high thing can be taken from the high tower of Babel, which was built in Genesis chapter number 11. That is a high thing. That is not a physical tower, but something in the mind of the person, a high thing. What is the high thing? The high thing, as per Genesis chapter number 11, like the tower of Babel, it takes the place of God by placing yourself on the throne. It takes the place of God by placing, stay with me, we are learning distractions, okay? A high thing is taking the place of God by placing yourself on the throne of your life. What is the symptom of a high thing? The symptom of a high thing is prayerlessness, no dependence on God. When a man does not praise, that means the man has decided that he can drive his own life. He can decide for his own life. He can do the things and handle the problems of his own life. That's why he does not praise. That's why there is prayerlessness, because there is no dependence of God. Prayer is basically you are dependent on God. That's why you are praying. Hallelujah. But when you take the control of your life and yourself is at the throne of your life, that means you have replaced God. That is what they were doing. They were building the tower whose heights can reach the heaven. And to take the place of God, or to go higher than the throne of God. That is a high tower. That is a high thing. Now, God has given me a lot of revelation. I have preached on the stronghold of the human mind previously, explaining the high thing and all those sorts of things. If you want to look at that, you can hear that sermon. But tonight, I am going on a different road of revelation about the high thing. A high thing is you are the one, even though you read the Bible, but you are the one who is driving your own life. It's not God. You are reading the Bible for knowledge. You are reading the Bible to show that you know the Bible and all sorts of things. But when you look at your life, you are the one who is taking care of your own life. You are not at all dependent on God. When you are praying, it's for a ritual activity. You are not dependent on God. Your heart is not leaning on God, saying, God, I cannot do it. I need you. I depend on you. That is a high thing. Do we understand that? Okay. Second is the argument. What is argument? Arguments are your word, opinion, and ideas placed over the word of God. and in contradiction against the word of the Lord. Your word, opinion, and ideas placed over the word of God and in contradiction against the word of the Lord. Two things. Remember what is the point we are discussing? Distractions, frustrations, irritations caused by self and selfish stronghold. This is a stronghold where a man does not depend on God. Oh, there are problems. I have to handle it. I have to work for it. I have to see where I can get things solved. And then, this is how we should go ahead. This is how we should do. You are not hearing from God, but you are executing your own ideas, your own intellectual. Let me seek help. Let me ask his advice. Let me ask her advice. Oh, if there is a financial lack, let me go there. Let me take that loan. Let me ask money from him. No dependence on God. You are not coming to God. Oh, if I am sick, first thing comes in my mind, let me go to that doctor. Let me take that medicine. Let me take that prescription. No dependence of God. Execution of your own ideas, of your own self, and no prayer, no asking God. Such a person who allows himself to drive his own life is the most distracted person, because they are never able to solve problems in their life, and problems and attacks pile up one above the other, because there is the existence of high things. And there is the existence of arguments in your own mind. When someone says, you know what you need to do? You need to depend on God. You know what? That is not practical, brother. I am depending on God, but I need to do this also. So your own mind is fighting against the word of the Lord. You are resisting the word of the Lord. Are we understanding? We are on the second point of distraction. When you do that in ministry, in business, in your work, in your family life, trying to solve your own problems, no prayer, no dependence on God, no going to the secret place, your life is a life of distraction. You are running here and there. You are running here and there. Which doctor to go? Which doctor to see? What medicine to take? Have you gone to God in silence and asked him, what is the cause of this age-long problem in my body that I am facing? God, reveal to me. Have you built an altar to the Lord and waited on the altar and said, Lord, show me. Lord, speak to me for my life. Give answers to me, Lord. Only you can answer, and your word only can bring. Have you done that? No, you don't do that. But you think, I know better than God. A high thing exists in your mind. An argument exists, a stronghold exists. Hallelujah. Do we understand that?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Most of the people are silent here tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. There is a high thing. There is a tower of Babel right inside of yourself. There is a tower of Babel that exists right inside of you, that because of which you cannot come. You cannot sit in the presence of God. You cannot open the word and read for 5 minutes. You are distracted. You are distracted. Why? Not because of the devil, because of you. So we should always not put the blame of the devil. Oh no, there is a devil. Oh no, there is a demon. Oh no, there are altars. No. Sometimes look at yourself. You yourself are the problem. You are yourself is orchestrating that distraction. Do we see that? And when that self is so strong, that is how the church of Corinthians were. They had high towers, high things, and arguments that were against the knowledge of Christ. And what were those? Those were strongholds. Strongholds. What are strongholds made of? What is the strength of stronghold? The strength of a stronghold is the height of the wall and the thickness of the wall. The height of the wall signifies Babel, prayerlessness, and the thickness of the wall signifies arguments. Do we understand that? Height of the wall signifies the Babel, high things. Thickness of the wall signifies arguments. Now, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, let me not go to the other revelation of the stronghold. Strongholds, the thickness, even signify spiritual embedded habits. When you give self the greatest importance in your life, you give invitation to demonic spirit and to come in your mind and to start to build up walls. Who gave them the invitation? They did not came by their own will. Your will was to bring them in. And they start to build up walls which are thick and which are high. And now, even after a devil is casted off from a person, you know, people go for those deliverance sessions. Oh, get out, devil. Ah, your devil went out. I am delivered. Most of the people, it happens in America. Go and do a survey. After getting delivered, you will see the person in the same state, because the devil, the demons, orchestrated something called as a stronghold in their mind, which will function even without the presence of demons. It's like a programming system where the software programmer comes to your computer, installs a software, and then he leaves your house. He will never come back. But yet what he installed without his presence will still function in your computer and give you help. That is a stronghold that can function without the presence of demons. So deliverance ministers, so-called deliverance ministers, cast out devil, but they don't address the stronghold that they have built. So the person is in the same state after getting delivered from a demonic spirit, because of a stronghold that was built of high towers and thick walls. Okay, let me go and not go into that. If you want reference, you can go to a sermon called Stronghold of the Mind that is there on the platforms, on the Spotify and other platforms. Okay. So when you take control of your own life, when you drive your own life, you will be distracted, because you will find yourself not able to solve problems. You will find yourself not able to do anything. And the things are piling up, tensions are piling up, burdens are piling up, and it will distract you. It will completely distract you from your daily devotion. The more you get into it, the more it will distract you from your daily devotion. Hallelujah. What does the Bible say? John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15. Verse number 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the wine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. This is what God is speaking to some people who are prayerless right now, and who have arguments in yourself. Your thoughts, your ideas contradict the word of God. You have taken control of your own life. The Lord is speaking to you that abide in me and I in you. Abiding in the Lord is an act of prayer. Abiding in the Lord is where you are abiding in the vine. And you are telling the vine, Lord, I abide in you because I cannot do anything by myself. So I stay in you. I rest in you. I reside in you and not outside of you. Let me stay in you. That is prayer. Abiding. How do we see that? Abiding in him is being completely dependent on him, which is actually the meaning of prayer. Prayer is where you are saying you cannot do it. You are dependent on the Lord. That means abiding. And then letting his word and power to flow through you and produce fruit is receiving his word. Prayer and word. Hallelujah. For those who are distracted by your selfish stronghold, tonight is the time to repent and abide in the Lord and the Lord abide in you, and his word abide in you, so that the Lord's word, so the Lord's power flows through you and bears fruit. Hallelujah. Amen. So many people.
Amen.
Brother. Oh, brother, you know what? Your ministry, you preach powerfully. Your revelations, no one teaches it. But why your ministry is not growing? You have people at this and that. I said, you know what? I am not stressed at all. I am not thinking at all about why this is not happening and that is not happening. Because it's not even my ministry. Oh, the people, some of are coming, some of are leaving. I said, they are not even my people. They are the Lord's people. I just abide in the Lord and let the Lord flow through me. He will do whatever he wants to do. I don't even take stress about my ministry, what will happen, what this will happen, because I am just abiding in him. In his time, let him bear fruit, because the Bible says he will bear fruit in due time. There is a time for some fruits that will come up. I am not stressed. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? That is, so I am not in control of this ministry. I am not in control. The Lord is in control. I am not in control of the congregation. The Lord is in control. Hallelujah. I pray for people. They are not under my covering. If I pray for people, the Lord covers them. He covers them. That's why they are safe. I was telling to someone, no one who is in this ministry, not pertaining to what I'm saying under my anointing, but no one who is connected to me will die before the purpose is fulfilled. That is a covenant that God made with me. God will not let any one of the people who are there under the teaching that the Lord gives you, and is under the covering of the Lord, they will never die before their purpose. That is one of the covenants that you will see that happening. No one will die. No one will die. Hallelujah. Well, who is doing that? The Lord is doing that. I am not doing that. Hallelujah. And when people call me, you know what? That person left. That person does not want to come back. Are you not? The people are leaving. I said, I am not stressed. I have given them to the Lord. They are not even my people. I have given them to the Lord. This and that. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? That means you are abiding in him. Abiding in him. Okay, that is the major. When you abide in him, that is the how you will get rid of selfish strongholds. That is how you will get rid of this kind of high towers. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Be humble and be submissive. Be submissive to the Lord. Okay, let's start off now. Let's go to the third point of distraction. Now, these are the forms of distractions. These are the forms of distraction. Okay, now this is the third point of distraction. Now we come to the distractions. The first distraction is worry and fear through exaggerations of false realities. Hallelujah. Worry and fear through exaggerations of false realities. What is that? 2 Kings chapter number 6. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter number 6. Second Kings chapter number 6, verse number 11 to 18. Verse number 11 to 18. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night. Underline that. That is what I was talking. When did they came? They came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city. When he got up in the morning, see, this is what I'm talking about. As soon as you get up in the morning, the devil shows you something And there you are. You say, alas, my life is gone. You are distracted for the whole day. You cannot read the word. You cannot, you decided to come to prayer, but something that you saw when you got up in the morning that was orchestrated during the night. You saw it. You saw, I am surrounded by trouble today. So when he saw, he got up in the morning, early in the morning, there was an army, verse 15, surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? I'm uncertain. What is this? But something that you will see there, you will see that the king of Syria, what did he do? He sent the army to get Elisha. Tell me one thing. When they came in the night, why were they waiting until morning to get Elisha? Why couldn't they attack right in the night? Because the angels of God are placed around you. And that's why, hallelujah, that's why the enemy could have got you right in the night and killed you. But the thing that you got up in the morning with breath in your nostril shows, you have to understand, shows that God has kept them from coming near you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Verse number 16. So he answered, I don't know. So he answered, do not fear for those who are with you. Do not fear for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around. Hallelujah. When you are sleeping, the fire of the Lord, the chariots of fire are protecting you. The devil would have killed you 3 in the night, 3 a.m. in the night, 4 a.m. in the night. But the thing you got up with breath in your nostril shows you that you are surrounded by God. You are surrounded by God. They could have come. That was the plan. We read that in the scripture. The king of Syria said, go and take him. But they came in the night. But until morning, they were just standing because the Lord did not allow them to come near Elisha. But this guy gets up in the morning, sees the enemy is surrounding and says, oh God, today also the same problem. Today also my day is going to be worse. But instead, thank the Lord for you are alive even though the enemy was surrounding you. Look at the situation from that perspective. Hallelujah. Distraction. Why distraction? Because the enemy, if he was not able to take you during the night and kill you, he uses the second tool and strategy to show himself big before you, to show himself big before you and to install fear in you by exaggerating a false reality. Do we understand that? That is a type of distraction. That is a type of distraction. You got up, oh, there is some pain in my throat. I think I have COVID. I have to go to the doctor. The enemy just gave you a sensation, showed something to you, and you started to, through the spirit of fear, exaggerate a false reality. No, you don't have COVID. You go and gargle with hot water, brush your teeth and pray, and you will see that your sore throat has gone away right there. But you start to believe in an exaggerated false reality. So many people, when they get up in the morning, the first thing they open is not their Bible. The first thing they open is their television set. And the thing they open in the television set is the news channel. And the news channel show, oh, this is the economy is falling down. This is what is going to happen. That, and they look at the news. Oh God, what will happen to me? And the news, what they are showing is not even true. They are exaggerating false reality. They are exaggerating for assumptions about the future. And there, right in the morning, you are distracted because a false reality was exaggerated before you. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? The spirit of fear rules a person by exaggerating false realities. Things which will never happen, the devil starts to exaggerate and make it look real to a person. Things which will never happen, the devil exaggerates those things in through the stronghold in your mind, what I was talking about. And it creates, you know, that is how. When you talk, now this is real. What I'm speaking is facts. How was COVID spread? More than the virus, COVID was spread by exaggeration. COVID was spread by hyping fear about the virus. When you talk to doctors who are qualified, I know doctors and nurses in my contacts who were working in the hospitals. It was told to them that whoever, even people who die of heart attack, people who die of cancer or whatever, tag them that they died of COVID so that they can, every day in the news, they could hype up the number of deaths. And when you look at, oh, so many people are dying because of the panic attacks. Because of the panic attack, they started to believe in a deadly virus, which was not even deadly. But because of the hype that was created, they started to believe that the virus was deadly. Hallelujah. They started to believe that news. They started to believe. So young people also started to suffer. Hallelujah. That is how the devil builds up, exaggerates a false reality just to distract you, just to build you, build a distraction in you, build a distraction in you, build a distraction in you. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, more than doctors and medicines, believe in the Lord, believe in the Lord, because doctors and medicines are going to betray you. They are after your money. Most of the clinics, most of the hospitals are after your money. Forcibly, they will do that test. Maybe you have this, maybe you have that, maybe you have this. But if there are no symptoms in your body, you should not go. Hallelujah. Are you understanding that? You need to walk in the Spirit. You need to walk in the Spirit. You need to walk in the Spirit these days and get rid of unnecessary distractions. Okay. Exaggeration is also spread nowadays because of a lot of information that we should not hear. We are hearing the information because of social media. Oh, scientists say that if you are walking like this, that means you have this labor. You are walking like that, if you have pain here, that means you can have a cancer. You can have this, you can have that. People have lived on this earth from quite a long time. People have lived healthy without those tests but nowadays if your eye is paining, maybe you have this problem, maybe you have that problem, and then you start to say, oh yes, he's right. Yesterday I had some pain there, maybe I have that disease, maybe I have that. Exaggerated realities. You're not a medical doctor, but God knows your body. The Holy Spirit knows your body, because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. Be led by the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you honestly, I'm telling you, I don't know last time when I went to the doctor. Even last time I had a sore throat, I did not take any medicine. I prayed and I know what to do with it. And hallelujah, God has kept me in perfect health. In spite of attacking demons and doing spiritual warfare, I am not having backlashes on my body, on my health. Whatever I'm supposed to do, I'm able to come and preach and teach. I'm in my right mind, not because of the doctors and medicine, but because I would get rid of exaggerations of false realities. Exaggeration of false realities. Are we together? Numbers chapter number 13.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We got to walk in the Spirit, and we got to know, hallelujah, that God can keep us in perfect health. Numbers chapter number 13. Let's go there. Okay, Numbers chapter number 13, verse number 26 to 33. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature." There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. So we were in their sight. Exaggerated false reality. Now. I want to show you something from the scripture. You know this story, right? It says Numbers chapter number 13, that the Lord spoke, verse number 1, Lord spoke to Moses to send men to spy out the land of Canaan. Actually, it was not the Lord who orchestrated the idea of going and spying out the land of Canaan. Now, listen to me. The Lord has already told Israel, it's time for you to enter Canaan, possess the land, take possession, destroy the enemy, eat the fruit of the land. When the Lord has told you to go, step into the land and take possession, why you are looking at your own abilities and your own self? And looking at the enemy, and then you are saying the enemy is big and we are small. Why? Because of a stronghold. That is exaggeration of false reality. I am telling to some people, when the Lord is telling you, go in it and possess it, you shall go in it and possess it. Even if the things that you have and the abilities you have are not matching to you, for you to physically and practically go and do it. But if the Lord is telling you, go and do it, go and just do it. Go and just get into it. Go and just possess it. Go and just buy it. If the Lord is telling you, go and buy that house. And you say, no, Lord, if the Lord spoke to you, the Lord maybe he spoke to you through a dream, through a vision, or he spoke to you through his word, you know it's the Lord. Go and buy it, and you will see his hand working. Even though you are unable, even though you don't have the ability, he will provide for you. Hallelujah. That's how you move forward in the land. That's how you move forward in the land. Sister Asha knows that. Hallelujah. That's how you move forward in your life. So many people are exaggerating false reality. If the Lord spoke to you, why haven't you done it from 15 years and 20 years? And you are saying, Pastor, pray for the delay. The delay is caused because of your distraction. You are distracted because of believing in an exaggerated false reality. Hallelujah. So many people I meet in 45, 50 years. Oh, you know what you are doing, the Lord told me to do. I said, when? No, when I was young, the Lord told me to do. So how? What have you done? You are 50 years old now. No, in the same, I also have the same anointing. But where are the fruits of your anointing? You never stepped into it. You never stepped into it. Why? Because you saw the giants. And you said, oh, I am a grasshopper, I cannot do it. Maybe let me do it after retirement. The finances needed to run and such a big thing, I cannot do it. Let me do it after retirement. Let me do it when I find someone who can sponsor me and who can give me money, who can give an oath that they will. You will never have a fixed income when you walk in the Lord. You will never, sometimes there will be ups and downs. It will never be regular. What God wants a person to live is a life of faith. Where for tomorrow, you are just dependent on God. You don't know what will happen tomorrow. You are just dependent on God. You don't have a fixed income. You don't have a life saving. You are just dependent on God that the crows will bring the food or something will happen. You are just dependent on Him. That is how God wants. But people don't want to live that life. They will say, oh, this and that, I cannot live like that. That's looking at the giants and saying, we are grasshoppers. Okay, what I was saying that this plan, they were asked to go into the land of Canaan and possess the land. and possess the land. But they wanted to spy the land. That was not orchestrated by God. It was orchestrated by the people themselves. Let me show you a scripture. Deuteronomy chapter number 1. Deuteronomy chapter number 1, verse number 20 to 23. Deuteronomy chapter number 1, verse number 20 to 23. And I said to you, you have come to the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear or be discouraged. And every one of you came near to me and said, let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us and bring back word to us of the way by which we should go up and of the cities into which we shall come. So this is where the Bible is saying that when God told them to go into the land and possess the land, these people are coming. Before we go into the land, let us spy out the land. That means you still don't believe in the word of God. You are still so distracted because you don't believe in God's plan. God is saying, go and live in that place. But before I go into that place, let me spy out the place. Let me see what are the amenities. Let me see what are the facilities. When God told you, go into that place and do ministry, go into that place. Because of their unbelief, they wanted to spy out the land. You see that? And when they spied out the land, they created their own list of problems. This is the problem. This is the problem. That is the problem. We cannot go there. We cannot go in. That is how through worry and fear, false realities are exaggerated. They were never going to be defeated after going there, but because of exaggeration of false realities, they did not see what God was showing them. They saw what their towers was showing them, their high things were showing them, their arguments were showing them, their strongholds were showing them. That is how people of God get distracted. By looking at something and they say, oh no, I cannot do it. Oh no, I cannot do that. Oh no, let me do this, not that. That is what Jonah did. Instead of going to Nineveh, he went to Tarshish. And history records that he did that because there were very fierce and giant people in Nineveh. So he was afraid to go there and so on and so forth. Hallelujah. God tells you to do something, but you take up a different assignment that results in a distracted life, that brings distraction in your life. Hallelujah. Okay.
Hallelujah.
Genesis chapter number 17. How to overcome such kinds of distraction. Genesis. How to overcome such kinds of distraction. Genesis chapter number 17. Verse number 1. Genesis 17. When Abraham was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. Walk before me and be blameless. Walk with the Lord. Walk with the plan of the Lord. Be flexible with the Lord. Apostle Paul says, I am content when I have in abounding, and I am also content when I am in lack. So I have disciplined myself to adjust to every kind of situation. There will be days where the Lord will give you, where there will be abundance. There will be days where there will be a famine, where there will be days where there will be joy and everything will go well. There will be days where you will be surrounded by attacks. But in every situation, walk with the Lord. Be flexible. Don't say, oh, look, previously I was like this. Now I am. This is happening to me. I want to be like this. I want to be like that. I want to be here. Be flexible wherever the Lord is placing you. If he is placing you in the desert, praise the Lord. If he is placing you in the wilderness, praise him. If he is placing you in abundance, praise him. Wherever he is placing you, walk before the Lord and be blameless. The Lord God Almighty appeared to Abraham and said, walk before me, Abraham, and be blameless. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Do we understand that? get rid of distraction through exaggerated realities. Get rid of distraction through exaggerated realities. Okay. Let me come to the second distraction. This is the more. Now listen to me, everyone, very carefully. This is what I'm going to speak, the second distraction that comes. This is the distraction that takes out a lot of God's people from God's word, from the daily devotion, from their prayer life. This is the distraction which is having the greatest impact as per me. And it is worry and uncertainty. Worry, uncertainty, and diversion due to financial lack. Worry, uncertainty, and diversion due to financial lack. This is one of the major distractions because of which Christians cannot spend quality time in the word and prayer. This is one of the major distractions, beloved, because of which Christians cannot spend quality time in prayer. Let me tell you one thing. If you have bills to pay tomorrow and you don't have the money today, God wants you to be in a state where you are still able to forget about it and let tomorrow worry about it, its own self, and read the word and speak with the Lord. Did you hear what I'm saying? Christians, tomorrow I have bills to pay, but I have no money. How will I do it? Because of which they are distracted today. It's a big distraction, I'm telling you. It's a big distraction. Tomorrow I have to pay this. Tomorrow I have to do that. Tomorrow, day after tomorrow, I have to do this. Where I will go? Whom to ask money? Never. Let me tell you one thing. Never disclose, as a Christian, never ever disclose your personal needs to a man and ask, I need help about this. Never ever disclose your personal needs to man. Go to God and you will see the miracle happening. Go to God always.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Do we understand that? Do we understand that? I am teaching this because I have the authority to teach it. God has taken me through a lot. And I have learned it. I have learned it. Hallelujah. When I came in Christ at a very young age, when I encountered Jesus at the age of 19 or 20, my family was in great financial debts. And sometimes, at the age of 19, 20, I used to go to the church, put the chairs. But at that time, when I was serving God, putting up the chairs, putting up the wires in the church, at that time, a day came where we were not even able to pay the rent. And we had to come out of the house. And there on the streets, all the furniture was there. But there I said, Lord, I will not be complaining, or my heart is not bitter. I am still praising you because I know you are in control. God has taken me through such situations. Where if I don't have money to go to the church those times, I will walk or I will take a bus from here and there and then reach and continue praising God, going there. And by doing that, after many years, God made a covenant with me that even if the world's economy fall, I will never be in lack. I will never be in lack. It's a covenant that I have with the Lord. I will never be in lack. I will never beg that I have this need and that need, please help me. I will never beg, because David says, I was young and now I am old, but I have never seen the seed of the righteous begging for bread. Hallelujah. But
amen.
Nowadays,
hallelujah.
Nowadays, Christians, they cannot spend time with God because of the pressure of financial lack, the biggest distraction in a Christian's life, the pressure of financial lack. So what did I say? If tomorrow you have to pay the rent for your house and the owner of your house said, if you don't pay the rent tomorrow, by tomorrow, you will be out. You have to vacate the house. You know what God wants? Even at today, when he's speaking to you that, after he speaks to you, God wants you to train you and bring you to a position that you are still able to go to the secret place and spend quality time, 3 hours with the Lord. That means you are not distracted. And you tell God, you know what? Tomorrow, Lord, I ask you that you will provide. Even if you don't provide, I am ready to go on the streets. But I will not be distracted. God wants you to come at that level. God wants you to come at that. Do you understand that? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes.
Listen to me. Finances should not disturb you. Especially I'm talking to servants of God and pastors. I have not seen any pastors nowadays who are trained in this area. Most of the pastors are not trained by God in this area. Listen to me. Let us see how a man of God can be diverted when there is a financial lack. Abraham was diverted because of a financial lack. Let's see that. Genesis chapter number 12. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter number 12. Verse number 7 onwards. Genesis 12, verse number 7 onwards. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain of east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west of Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. This is the altar at Bethel where he got utterance to pray. This is the first time Abraham prayed. He called on the name of the Lord. So when you go to a place and where you get utterance, revelation, how to communicate with the Lord. That was the utterance of prayer at Bethel. That place should be the place where you wait and don't move away. The altar at Bethel. Bethel is also called the house of God. Okay. So I have already preached on altars, the roadmap of altars, how Abraham built altars. The first altar at Shechem, where the voice of God was not so clear before this. The second altar at Bethel, where he got utterance. It says, when he built the altar, he called upon the name of the Lord. That means he prayed. He got utterance of the name of the Lord. He got utterance how to communicate with God, how to raise prayers unto the Lord. So that was the altar he was supposed to wait at. But what happened there? Verse number 9. So Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you, that they will say, this is the wife, and they will kill me. And they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say, you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you. Hallelujah. What happened there? He was supposed to wait at the prayer altar. But because there in that place, what was there? A famine. Because of a lack, because of no food, he decided to go where? To go to Egypt. That is how the devil wants to divert you, by bringing a financial lack. But you need to tell the devil, whatever lack you bring in my finances, I am not going to leave the altar of the Lord and go to Egypt for help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. People of Amen. Apart from Sister Asha, Sister Brother John Paul Ralston, Sister K, where are the others? Can you say an amen? Are you people listening here? Hallelujah. You.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
We are listening. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You need to tell the devil. You need to tell the devil. Devil, I am not going, because of the lack that you are bringing, I am not going to be diverted and distracted and leave the place of prayer and go somewhere else for help. I am going to stay here. Whatever you might do, you bring famine, you bring lack, you bring this, I am going to hold on to the horns of the altar. I am not going to go to Egypt for help. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Abraham did a mistake. That mistake costed generations to be corrupted. He went to Egypt. And then the Bible says, he went to Egypt and he told a lie. He sinned, first of all. So when you leave the altar of God because of a distraction and go somewhere else, you land up in sin. You land up in telling lies. You land up maybe in fornication. You land up in adultery. You land up in whatnot. Hallelujah. When you read verse 16, Genesis 12, verse 16, it says, he treated Abraham well for our sake. He had, now the Pharaoh treated Abraham. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys and camels. So it says, when you read KJV, it says, Abraham acquired male donkeys, camels, male and female servants from where? From Egypt. And for your information, you know, Hagar, from whom Ishmael came, was one of the Egyptian slaves, which was borrowed from Pharaoh. So when you leave the altar because you were distracted, go to Egypt, you carry some of the things from Egypt that will corrupt your coming generation. Distraction because of a famine, distraction because of financial lack. When you read the book of Ruth in the Bible, it says, because there was no bread in Bethlehem where Naomi's family were living, Naomi heard that there was bread and God visited Moab. So after hearing the news from people, she was distracted. It says she left Bethlehem, that is the house of God, and went to Moab, that was a city that was not of the Lord. Distraction because of financial lack comes in the lives of people. Diversion because of financial lack comes in every Christian's life. And you need to overcome that distraction. And what will the distraction through financial lack tell you? Leave the house of God, leave prayer and try out that. You know, one of the sisters were telling me that she heard the interview of an ex-Satanist who used to serve Satan. And one of the strategies they were using against pastors were, they were manipulating the minds of congregation. The congregation should not give to the pastor or to the ministry, so that the pastor will be in lack, and then at a point will come that the devil is able to manipulate the pastor to leave ministry and to get a job and to leave serving God. I said, that strategy will not work for me, because I am not dependent on the congregation. I am dependent on the God of heaven.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I live above the realms of the manipulation of the devil.
Sure.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Do you understand that? Distraction. The devil can work in the realms of manipulation and of the flesh. But when you rise in a realm where you are completely dependent on God, the devil's distraction will not be able to distract you. It's God. It's your trust on God. Hallelujah. Distraction. Hallelujah. If I was dependent on money for ministry, I would have quit ministry for many years ago. But God is the strength of the work. God is strength of what I am doing, what it's been done here. God is the strength. Hallelujah. Distraction from financial lack, from financial difficulties. Let me take you to some more scriptures. Matthew's chapter number 14. You might say, but brother, how can you be practical? You want to hear practical knowledge? Let me take you to Matthew's 14. Matthew's 14, verse number 13 onwards. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. Hallelujah. Jesus had nothing physically or financially in his pockets to feed the 5,000 people, to 5,000 families, actually, 5,000 families. There were more than 5,000 people when numbered. But Jesus did not panic. Oh, there are so many people, we have to feed them. Let us borrow something from here, from there. No, he did not say. He said, I will feed them. But Jesus, you don't have money. I will feed them. What we have? He said, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Let us raise it up to God. Let me raise it up to God and give it to God first and give thanks for it to God. And when he did that, that 5 loaves and 2 fishes multiplied. That is how you exchange your earthly currency with heavenly currency, and you get a multiplication of the abundance in the storehouse of heaven by the giving of thanks of whatever you have, little you have. Hallelujah. Tomorrow you have an amount and you have to pay the rent. You don't have that amount to pay the rent. What you have, say, Lord, this amount I have, I give you thanks. You will see the supernatural hand of God multiplying it. You will see an exchange of the earthly Amen. Currency with the heavenly currency. Jesus was not stressed out. Jesus was not like, I am poor. He did not have the victim mentality. He did not have the poverty mentality. Like most of us do. Oh, I am poor. Never say you are poor. Always, you are rich, more richer than the richest men of the earth. You are a rich woman. Amen. You are a rich man, brother.
Amen.
Only if you can access the bank account that your father has.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Aya poko sabanta. You will not borrow from men. You are supposed to feed the multitudes. Jesus never said, Amen. I don't have money. How can I feed them? No one is giving me money. No. When the time came, he said, I know my father. I will feed this 5,000 people. And he gave whatever he had. Give me what you have. Lord, Father, I give you thanks. And the Father multiplied it. Hallelujah. Do you think only Jesus can do that? No, even you can do that if you have that attitude. He was not distracted. He was not distracted. Many pastors are getting distracted. Pastors, don't get distracted. Put your trust in God. The congregation will one day fail you, I'm telling you. God will not fail you. God will never let your seed beg for bread. God will never let your children beg for bread. There will be financial difficulties and times and trials. But if you learn how not to be distracted and leave the altar because of a financial difficulty, you will rise above the manipulation of distraction. Hallelujah. Do we see that? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Second Kings. Okay, let me end here. I did not know it's time. Hallelujah. There is a lot to it. I will continue Sunday night. I will continue Sunday night from the distraction and diversion. I want to show you some things. There are many kinds of distractions. So whatever the Holy Spirit told me, I noted it down, and I am going through those distractions. So today I covered the distraction through exaggeration of false realities. And second, I covered distractions, worries, uncertainty, diversion due to financial lack. There are 9 minus 2, 7 more of it. And some of those distractions will shock you. I'm going to show you evidence how the devil even distracts by sending demonic beings, physical demonic beings to you. And I plan to show you the pictures of the encounters I had, pictures I have taken of those beings. And I'm going to show you Sunday night. And we are going to learn from those experiences. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we will pray. I would encourage you to encourage your brethren in the group, those who you cannot see, for them to come and invite someone so that they can hear the word and God can work in their lives. Let's pray. We are not a people in Jesus' name who will be distracted. The Bible says once again, he will shake the realms of heaven, and not only of the heaven, but also of the earth. Hallelujah. so that those things which are shaken will be removed, but those things which remain, which are unshakable, they will remain. So there will come many winds and storms, but how prepared you are. How prepared you are to handle distractions. How prepared you are to handle distractions. Oh, hallelujah, and God is preparing you tonight. Don't worry. Don't worry, don't worry about financial lack. Last Sunday, that is what the Lord spoke to some of you, or maybe rather to most of you, that he will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Because it's not that he is blind to your situation, he sees you. Hallelujah, and he will destroy the order of demonic locusts. Oh, Rebaba, Sokoto Rabo, God is able to do so, but only when you stay at the altar, only when you abide in him and he abides in you, you will be able to get rid of distraction. Only when you walk before the Lord, you will be blameless. I am telling you, devil plays those tricks of financial lack to distract you. Oh, the devil plays those tricks of exaggerated false realities. But tonight, God is exposing it. Oh, Reba, Bao, Segeti, Yaraba. I decree and declare these people who are sitting here hearing your word, that they will not be distracted in Jesus' name. That they will not be distracted in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, distraction, it sounds so simple and it sounds so normal or average, but distraction is one of the dangerous tools of the enemy to take out people of God from the plan of God, to divert them, to ruin their life. And tonight we overcome those spiritual distractions in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, even as we spend time, Lord, tomorrow and day after tomorrow, Father, you speak to your people. You speak to your people in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, bring pastors, bring leaders. Yesterday, tonight I had a dream before coming on the meeting, and I saw, oh Lord, pastors from mega churches who were deceived, who had covenants with other false prophets, coming to be prayed, coming to hear the teaching, Lord. Oh, in the name of Jesus, bring pastors and leaders, Lord, for you have ordained us for such a time as this to train the army of God to rescue pastors, oh Lord, who have not been taught and mentored in the right way, Lord. Oh, in the name of Jesus Christ, I shall call a nation whom I do not know, and nation whom I do not know shall run to me, because of the Lord my God, because of the Holy One of Israel. Hallelujah. We call in the nations, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to the top of the mountain, to the house of God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, tonight your people are going to shame the devil. Your people are going to shame the devil, Lord, who is troubling them through distractions, who is throwing things at them and telling them, oh, you see, this is the lack, this is God is not working. But tonight you have given them the wisdom to handle every distraction, Lord, and to overcome it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We give you the praise, we give you the honor, Lord. We cover all of us, Lord, we cover all of us with the blood of Jesus Christ, and the coming meetings we surrender into your hands. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we ask. And God's people shout, Amen.